B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, Felger Maserati, Wednesday, October 16th, here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Anthony, James, how are you guys? James?
I'm good. Thank you, yourself?
Okay, fine. Enough pleasantries. We're going to talk some football, we're going to talk some NFL today, okay?
Sure.
Try something new. The big news after we got off the air yesterday across the league was the trade of Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, the loudmouth corner from Jacksonville, went from Jacksonville to the Rams. Have you heard what they got for this guy? Two first round picks and a fourth.
Seems high.
Two firsts and a fourth.
Yep.
For Jalen Ramsey, who's a really good corner. I don't know if he's the best in the league. You all think Stephon Gilmore is the best, but whatever.
He's in the top few, right?
Top three, top five corner in the league. Jalen Ramsey, two firsts and a fourth. What was your immediate reaction, Murray? I'll start with you.
I just don't know. Well, is he that big of an upgrade over Marcus Peters, who they traded to Baltimore yesterday, for two first-rounders? It just seems like it's an overpay, and I really like Ramsey, but I just think he went to the wrong team, because what's this do immediately and in the future for the Rams? This doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender again. They're still the third-best team in their own division. I don't think it makes them any better in the conference as a whole, which is the better conference, the NFC. They still have their idiot puppet quarterback, football Pinocchio, and Jared Goff. The offensive line is still a sieve. They made a trade with Cleveland yesterday to try to upgrade a little bit there and brought in a new guard, but that's still an issue. It just doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender. It feels like an overpay, and I think he went to the wrong team. If Philadelphia did this, if Seattle did this, if Kansas City made this move, I think it makes more sense. For the Rams, it makes zero sense to me.
For two first-round picks?
No, so listen, the price is high. The price is high, but I disagree with Murray on a couple of points. I think it does make him better. I don't know if it makes him a Super Bowl contender this year, but the move's not just about this year. The move's about more. You know, Aqib Talib is on the injured reserve. He's done for the year, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. Peters, who's going to leave at the end of the year. And I'm arguing it now from the perspective of a Rams fan. Okay, if I'm a Rams fan, I'm looking at it going, who's going to play in the secondary? You don't have anybody back there. Peters is okay. You know, he's not a great player. Ramsey's better than Peters, I think, by a lot. So the Rams are looking at it saying, we just invested in the quarterback. We've signed Donald. We gave Cooks money. They've given all this money to all these players, and they don't have corner? So if I'm a Rams fan, I'm looking at it saying, okay, they didn't give up on this season because there are 3-3. It's not like they're dead. So they've lost three in a row, but I'm happy because they haven't given up on this season. But more importantly, they're continuing to load into this window. So if I'm a Rams fan, I'm happy about that. Now, the price, they overpaid.
Loading into the window is one thing. Two firsts and a fourth?
It's a lot.
For a guy who's got a year and a half left on his contract, you have to pay him in a year. And no guarantee he stays.
Well, Gary, that's the other thing that's really overlooked here.
His buddy Deion Sanders is already chirping about the income tax rate in California and that he's not a California guy, he's not a West Coast guy, and that income tax.
He's in it for a rude awakening there, going from Florida to California and that tax rate. I'm sure that, what?
Ah! And his guy Deion Sanders is already chirping about it. Two firsts?
But again, the Rams will have control over that because they have the franchise tag.
Okay, I mean,
so it's not like he can just walk.
But God, they gave up a first for Brandon Cooks, now two firsts for this guy? I'm all for loading into a window, but then there's also, you know, a little patience. I mean, is your window that tight? You just signed the quarterback. So, and whether you like him or not, you sort of have a plan. You have a coach and the quarterback, and you're like, you think your window's only 2 years wide? You still got two first round picks. Their next two first round picks gone? Yikes. When their defense is still okay.
And they didn't have a first rounder in this past draft.
Right. I think it was a Brandon Cooks trade, probably.
Yeah.
So, holy smokes. That seems crazy to me. And Murray, furthermore, did some research about these trades, that these two first-round pick trades. Murray, what did you uncover?
Yeah, so, I wanted to see, like, any time, because that's such a haul, right? Like, two first-round picks, and if it actually ever paid off in a championship. So going back to, like, 1987, players that were dealt for at least two first-round picks. Jim Everett, Oilers to the Rams, no Super Bowls. Eric Dickerson, Rams to the Colts, no Super Bowls. Fred Young, Seahawks to the Colts. No Super Bowls.
Fred Young. Is it Freddie Young? Do you remember this?
Fred with two D's Young.
No.
I don't even know who Fred Young is. I can't remember.
Me neither. I couldn't tell you who Fred Young. I don't know who the F Fred Young is.
Neither did I, but that name came up.
Seahawks to the Colts. I'm logging in. I don't have it, but that deserves a Google. Keep going.
Yeah. So after he was, by the way, he was a linebacker. Herschel Walker to Dallas from Dallas to Minnesota. We know that one. No Super Bowls. Jeff George gets traded from the Colts to the Atlanta Falcons. As we know, no Super Bowls.
Jeff George.
Keyshawn Johnson, the Jets to the Bucs.
Ding, ding, ding.
They won a Super Bowl. Ricky Williams, that famous trade. Saints to the Dolphins. Massive haul. No Super Bowls. Jay Cutler, Broncos to Bears. No Super Bowls.
Two first-round picks for that.
Crazy,
bomb.
Right?
Yeah, who is the modern Jeff George? Same guy.
And still, I think you can argue was the best Bears quarterback of all time. Goes to show you how bad the quarterback situation's been there forever. Khalil Mack, Raiders to the Bears. To be determined, but that's not trending the right way because they don't have a quarterback. Laremy Tunsil, Dolphins to the Texans this year. To be determined. And now Ramsey, Jags to the Rams. Really what it comes down to, and this is the thing, so from 97 to 2017, three players traded for two first-round picks. Since the start of last season, three players traded for first-round picks. If picks are so valuable, why are first-round picks, why are people just willy-nilly throwing away these first-round picks? And I wonder, and this is something that Belichick was asked about a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, I don't care about the analytics, is the influence of the nerds now affecting the NFL? Are they looking at first-round picks and doing some sort of Pythagorean theorem, and we realize that they're not as valuable as these players, so you could trade them away? And that's why you're seeing first-round picks, at least in recent years, from 2017 to now, just being thrown away willy-nilly for guys that are like plug-and-play players.
I can't believe that would be it. It's just a desperate team or a team that doesn't understand value or cost analysis or whatever. Two are just, I don't know. So you go on a run. The next year you take a step back because you've got a Super Bowl hangover. Happens all the time. Why not just wait it out? Okay, so maybe the Rams take a step back this year, but everything is still in place if you build smartly for a nice long window and a nice long run. Why are you shooting all your bullets, blowing your ammo in 1 year and might be a lost year anyways? Is Ramsey going to turn that thing around? The problems are on offense, not defense. What are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know. This was, well, it just
I don't
feels
know.
Drastic.
I mean, is that true? They gave up 50-something. How many points did they give up? Who's that? Houston? Who did they allow the 50 points to? The Bucs.
Oh, the Bucs.
They got blown off the field by Tampa Bay. It was dreadful.
So maybe they're both. I don't know, but I still think the offense is the bigger issue there.
So it might be. Look, but they're relying on the coach there a little bit too, right? So the coach might be able to scheme them out of that one. Look, again, I can't defend the price. I'm just telling you, if I'm a Rams fan, I'm looking at that going, okay, at least they're going for it. Like, and I don't even mean this year. I mean that they have a young quarterback, a relatively, a middle-aged receiver called Cooks, one of the best defensive linemen in the game. Now they get a left corner to go with it. Like, those are big spots. Those are big building blocks, and Ramsey can play. I'm not pissed if I'm a Rams fan, but they overpaid.
Two first-round picks for anything other than a quarterback in his prime is, to me, bananas. Ridiculous. But it does so. Now, this is how I related to the Patriots. Marcus Peters traded. Jalen Ramsey traded. Feels like there might be an active trade market out there this year. I feel like in the last couple of years it's picked up, and I have nothing really to base that on other than just it feels like, they moved the trade deadline back. There used to be no trades in the NFL. Like, you were lucky if you got one or two. And now it feels like there's not just one or two, but there's actual people moving. So it just feels like it's a little more active, and maybe this year, it's a harbinger. You're still 2-3 weeks from the trade deadline, and you got these guys moving. Michael Bennett. You think he's gone, Maz, right?
I do. Next 10 days, I think he's gone.
I don't think he is, and I don't think he should be. And this is the question for the people. Should we be giving up? Should the Patriots be giving up on Michael Bennett? And do you think they just release him if they don't have a trade for him?
No.
I hope not.
Okay. I don't think there's going to be a trade for him. And I'll tell you why. He's got $3 million. So if you trade him, you save $3 million. If you only cut him, you only save $1 million. Okay, so there's a difference of $2 million in there. You get $3 million back if you can find someone to take him. And if I'm the Patriots and I want to trade him, I'm not picky about the return. That's a salary dump. I want to clear $3 million off the books instead of one. So just give me your seventh-round pick or future considerations, whatever it takes. But if you're a team around the league, why would you give the Patriots anything when you're going to release them anyway? And that's usually the way it goes, right? I mean, right. When you're about to trade a guy, and that's the way, that's what the trend line is, most teams just end up releasing the guy. And most teams across the league are sort of smart about it. We're not giving you anything. You're going to cut him.
Oh, his value definitely takes a hit with the suspension.
Okay, so now he's suspended. He's a problem here, and teams should look at it and say, well, if he's a problem there, he's going to be worse here. If he can't work in New England, where is he going to work? I think he has the look of someone who's out of shape and has quit and has taken his last contract and has given up. That's what he looks like to me when I see him slouching on the sidelines. And if I'm a team across the league and I even want to give a chance to Michael Bennett, I'm not giving the pace. Pound sand. You're going to release him and I'll get him for nothing and start over on my own contract. I'm not giving that bum $3 million. I'll take a chance on him, but it's going to be on my term. So I don't think there's going to be a trade market for him.
Yeah, again, I don't. If I'm the Patriots, I do think there's going to be a trade market for him because I think someone will take him. There's a team out there. There are teams, plural, that will embrace the renegade in this league. They always do. Look at Marcus Peters.
Right, but not when he's about to be released. When a player's
a lot of those guys, though, sometimes don't end up getting released.
When a player's about to be released, for the most part, NFL teams are smart and they sit back and say, we're not giving you anything. You're going to release them anyway. And then we'll sign them on our terms. And this is what I think is headed with Michael Bennett. My point is, I think Michael Bennett would have been traded already.
I don't believe that.
I think Michael Bennett would have been traded before they put him on this suspension. I think that my guess is that they would already have done it. And my guess is there's no market for Michael Bennett. And so now my point is on the Patriots, what's your best course of action for Michael Bennett? Do you just want to cut him? You just want to release him?
No.
I don't either. I don't even know if I want to trade him. Do I want to trade him for a seventh round pick or a future consideration just to clear an extra $3 million? I'll find my $3 million in savings somewhere else. Give me another cocktail napkin. This is what I'm trying to say. I think their best bet is almost to try and be patient and try and salvage it and see if he can turn it around and be functional for you and get his ass in gear by the end of the year when you need him.
Yeah, I'm not giving him away. Look, if you tell me you can figure out the financial part of it without giving him away or something, then fine, I'm in.
This is my point. I think they're in a position with Michael Bennett where they pretty much have to give him away. And you know what? You already made the mistake. Okay, so you've already given him the money up front, and this decision has already been made, and it wasn't a great one. Can you salvage it? Is there still a chance that with just some patience and, again, maybe he has an attitude adjustment, you only need him for that key stretch in the middle of the year and then the playoffs, is there a chance? I happen to think the odds are greater that he just turns it on for the little bit that you need him and you get something out of it than you recouping your value but just by releasing him or trading him for nothing. So I don't like Michael Bennett, and I said it the day they signed him. I don't like the guy. Pain in the ass. This is a move you got to keep an eye on. I felt all that from day one. But now here you are. You've already given him $4 million up front. I don't think there's a market for him. My guess is there's no market for him. So what are you going to do? Give him away for nothing? In that case, you might as well just keep him and see if he turns it around. And so that's my question to you as it relates to all this other NFL movement that I think is coming. Are you giving up on Michael Bennett? 617-779-0985. To right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think everybody's always concerned about how they our boss is going to, you know, take into consideration if something happens back home. But when you have a boss who respects you as a man, it's easy to go out and play for him like that. And I think for me, that's easy to look him in the eye, and whatever he asks me to do, I'll do it simply because I know that he respects me as a human being, and I respect that.
All right, so that was Michael Bennett in training camp. Adam Jones played this last night, and I leave it to that evil prick to remember something I should have. The chance to dump on Michael Bennett. I don't know if you were working the day that this happened, either you, but I remember the day, the weekend he said that.
Sure, I remembered it.
I came on the air and said, watch out for this guy. Watch out. And even that comment there. So the comment said, Bill let him show up late because he had a family thing back in Hawaii or whatever. And he says, you know, when you're treated like a man and respected like a man and respected like a human being, that makes all the difference. And so I'll do anything for them because they were doing anything for me. And I said, watch out for this guy. He's playing the treating me like a man card. These guys, the same guy that says, well, he treats me like a man. As soon as you take away his playing time or cut him or something, says, well, he didn't treat me like a man. Like, he's all hung up on treating me like a man. Like, shut up. And we all work for somebody. We all have a boss treating you like a man. Show up, do your job, go home, show up again the next day and do it and do your job again. Anybody, you know, I really, because he treats me like a man. Like, ah, God. Remind me of the old Patriots coming off of Bill Parcells when they were all complaining about Bill Parcells. He treats us like children. He doesn't treat us like men. Pete Carroll treats us like men. And then we saw how that happened. Like, watch out for those guys. He treats me like a man. Ugh. As soon as Michael Bennett said that, I said, watch out. This guy, he's a treat you like a man guy. And so what happened to that, Michael? Treats me like a man, treats me like a human being. When you do anything for me, I'll do anything for you. So what? Playing in a limited role, doesn't include that? You want to beat the bag out of your defensive line coach? So I'm no fan of Michael Bennett. Pain in the ass, this guy. Pain in the balls. But you've already given him $4 million up front. You've already sent the fifth round pick. You're not going to get anything for him. I think at this point, he's a giveaway. And if my choices are giving him away for nothing or sticking with him and seeing if he just turns it around because he does have talent, I'm just going to stick it out with him because you may need him, and he is a talented guy. And I just think, again, getting nothing for him just for cap relief, I'll find cap relief for you somewhere else. I'd rather wait it out and see if he brings you anything. So that's my thought on Michael Bennett. As much as I don't like him and I don't trust him, I'm going to wait it out on him.
I think someone will take him. I do. I think that, and again, it's all about upgrading the pass catchers. Whether it's a tight end receiver, you take the pick. I don't care. Ideally, I would like a receiver.
Okay, so listen.
If it works in that scenario, I'm doing it. But I'm not giving this guy away. No way.
If Cincinnati wants to trade me Tyler Eifert, if Detroit wants to trade me Danny Amendola, okay, we'll talk. If I get something back, if I think I win the trade or at least get something close to equal value, fine. But I'm not just ditching him now. I'm not doing that. As insufferable as the guy can be. Your thoughts, Paul in Rhode Island, lead us off. Hello, Paul. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. We're taking calls now, so you all can be ready. John in Indy. Yes, John.
Hey, long time no see. I totally agree with you about Bennett. He is a tool bag, but that coach that he got into an argument with, we read a little bit of background on him. He's not exactly...
Tool bag. Bielma's a tool bag.
Exactly. So I totally agree with you guys. They should keep him because he's definitely got an impact on the field in the short time he's been playing. So my answer is just keep the guy.
So listen, I'm no fan of Brett Bielema either. But to me, whatever happened, Bennett had to have crossed the line. Because Bill's not going to suspend him if he just told him to F himself. I mean, it had to be even beyond that. I'm sorry. You know, just a little verbal abuse. That happens all the time in that environment. They're hard on each other down there. So it had to be beyond it for Bill to go ahead and suspend him for a game. But, you know, either way, to me, a bigger thing is that he can't get on the field. You know, what is he showing them or not showing them that says you can't even be a sub rusher, for crying out loud?
But I put some of that on them, Mike. So, like, you know, on the one hand, it's like, you know, you bring in a guy, you give him a raise, and I'm not saying they gave up a great deal to get him, but they took on the contract. They did that. They bring the guy in, and then they force him to adhere to their system. When you know what his strengths are going in.
So I understand.
And I'm not telling you he's played poorly. He hasn't played a lot. These guys come in, and I mean these guys, Bedard and Gasper and whoever else will come in and say that when he's been out there, he's played well. But if they're using him in a way that doesn't play to his strengths, That's bad coaching.
Okay, but I think there's a whole, like, I get him not playing on first or second down or running spots or in that 3-4, that classic 3-4, but there's tons of sub-defense out there, tons of it, where he can just pass, you know, rush the passer from inside, outside, wherever. And he's not on the field there. He's losing snaps to, like, Winovich and Simon and guys like Butler, guys like this in that situation. What's that about? You don't think Bill wants to play the guy? You don't think Bill wants to play him after paying him? Of course he does. My guess is Bennett is doing something or carrying himself in a way that says this guy's checked out. But that doesn't mean it can't turn around. I mean, I think they would use him if they felt he was able to, or, you know, if he was up to it. Andy in Florida. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, guys. Hey, yeah, Mike, you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. Would you trade Bennett for Amendola in Detroit all day?
Yes, I think I would. I think I would. Let me give you another one. Is Chris Hogan in Carolina right now?
He's done for the year.
Oh, he is injured. Done for the year.
I was just going to ask you, was he healthy? No?
No.
Done for the year. So would you have traded Bennett for Chris Hogan?
No.
Too much.
It's a little too much. Brady's, you know, for some reason, Hogan wasn't quite.
He was out of the circle.
In the circle, right. I don't know why.
Yeah, Amendola, I'd do it because of what he's been able to do in the postseason. Him and Brady are boys, so yes. But Hogan, no.
I wouldn't hold your breath on Amendola, though, after the comments he made on the way out the door.
You know, that goes back and forth.
Mm.
Watson made some comments about the owner, and they let him back.
This one was a little more pointed, wasn't it?
It's, well, again, it's tricky. Who
knows? He call Bill an a-hole?
Basically.
Yes.
Bill doesn't like to pay his players, and, you know, he ripped him for the Malcolm Butler decision.
I guess. I mean, that was, I don't know. Look, I'd give the Patriots credit if they did it. But of all the guys that, you know, if anyone has left and said anything that was pointed, it was Amendola.
Amendola said, you know, about the Malcolm Butler thing. I mean, what agenda are we trying to serve?
Exactly.
Like, almost basically saying that there was something behind the scenes there, or was it Bill's personal agenda, business related or personal? But sometimes Bill's forgiving about that stuff. It's odd. It's weird. It's hard to know exactly who he's shut out and who he hasn't, because he hasn't shut out everybody. He lets some people back in, and others are dead. You know, it's Fredo. You're swimming with the fishes. It's hard to know where Amendola is. We've got Patrick and Bill Ricca. Hi, Pat.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going good. What do you got?
So I just wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were on going after Tyler Eifert and possibly A.J. Green, and what do you think the Patriots would have to give up to make that happen?
So Michael Bennett for Tyler Eifert and A.J. Green.
Not enough.
Not enough?
Not for A.J. Green.
F A.J. Green. I have no use. I mean, look.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
I know. They're so desperate, I guess I would take them.
So, no, I'm not telling you I would make the deal. I'm just telling you I'm evaluating the trade. Michael Bennett is not enough to get both of those guys. He's not. I mean, again,
Bennett for Eifert.
I think that's too much.
Okay, so listen, there's no way in hell Cincinnati would do that. So this is just fantasy, because I think Bennett's untradeable. I think Bennett's untradeable. I think he's a pain in the ass, and everyone knows it. He's a pain in the ass in the one place where generally they can get a pain in the ass to conform. They can't. So if you can't work here, where are you going to work? I think he's out of shape. He has the look of someone who's out of shape or checked out, is what he looks like to me. And so if I'm a team out there, I'm not giving you anything. I'm waiting for you to release him. I think there's no market for him. We can play around with this. Bennett for Amendola, Bennett for Hogan, Bennett for Eifert. I mean, it's a talk radio. We'll do it. But I don't think any of those teams are going to give you, especially someone like Cincinnati that's tank mode.
It doesn't serve Cincinnati. Cincinnati, if you're talking Eifert and Green, you're talking about picks or guys who were just drafted that, you know, again, have long-term potential.
The teams you got to
look
for.
Like someone would take Bennett.
Okay, the teams that would are teams that are in it, who think that he's a difference maker and can handle a-holes. Or will not even handle them, but just take them on. Baltimore, Seattle.
Seattle would definitely take him back. Pete would take anybody back.
Exactly. Okay, so maybe, but those teams are kind of smart. And if I'm John Schneider out there in Seattle, or who's Ozzie Newsom's replacement, whoever, if I'm Harbaugh in Baltimore, I'm sitting there saying, you guys are going to release this guy. We're not giving you anything. And by the way, it's sort of rare for you to trade with certainly AFC contenders down the stretch. I don't see that. See, I think you're going to have to give them up. I think you're just going to have to release them.
There's someone in the NFC that would take them. There's a lot of teams that are in contention out there, and a guy like Bennett could make a difference. So I don't know. Now, who is that? I don't know. Philly doesn't want him back, according to Greg Bedard when he was in here earlier in the week. I think Seattle would take him. Hell, what if someone has an injury? And then we can pick up Michael Bennett, and you know, and we're a Super Bowl threat? Oh, there are teams that would do it. I don't know if that's going to happen before. Now, again, I'm not telling you getting a stud wide receiver or first-round pick for him, but I think someone would take him on.
Okay, well, you only gave up a fifth, and it's only gone downhill. So just use that. You got him for a fifth, and he's done nothing but fail. So what, you're going to get more than a fifth? Use your head. No. When someone is traded for a fifth and then he fails at his next spot, you know what the next step is? Release. That's the way that goes. They don't get traded again.
I mean, if you could get the fifth back, but you clear the money to get a receiver, then it's good.
Right. I understand. I don't know who would do that. I don't know who would do that.
I'm telling you, I'm not giving Bennett away, though. I'd love to pick up when they got him. I like the player. And I don't think that what he's done so far, I mean, based on what we know, is that outrageous. Although it is possible that he threatened to knock Bielma's head back down through his neck. Like, I wouldn't rule out that possibility.
That was the philosophical difference, where he wanted to knock his head through his neck and Bielma said, I don't want you to. And then they clashed philosophically on what would happen there.
Bielma wanted to keep his head. And Bennett didn't want him to have it.
Just so you treat him like a man, that's what I'm just concerned that he's treated like a man. That's all I want. And just make sure that his manhood is okay. This guy. We continue with these thoughts. We are going to give you, after the update, a quick Celtics minute. We thought we would do that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Celtics have numbers. Grant Williams finds Carson Edwards in the corner, dribbles the baseline, throws back out to Grant Williams. Celtics try to reset. Edwards runs to the corner, catches and hits a three.
He ain't gonna miss all of them.
Fires a deep three, four in a row for Carson Edwards.
Good God. Somebody said, don't leave the shooter.
Finds Edwards. Edwards gets behind the screen, launches again, hits again. Seven threes for Carson Edwards.
Hey, check.
Here comes that man again. Carson Edwards. Crazy deep three. Got it.
Jesus Christ. I didn't mean to say that about you, Lord, but my goodness. Woo.
Long cross court. Grant Williams is open. He's going to put it to the floor and find Carson Edwards for another three. His ninth of the game, his eighth of the quarter, and the Celtics lead by 22.
All right, so everyone's got their green Schmenzer out on the table because the rookie hit a bunch of three-pointers last night, and I think Maz is one of them. I think Maz is one of them.
Oh, I don't have a green Schmenzer. No. What I got was a Boilermaker. That's right. This kid went to Purdue. He was a number 33 pick in the draft. Second round. Top of the second round. I liked him when they got him, and I thought, how did this kid last in the early second round of the draft? Played at Purdue, had a good tournament.
How?
Yeah.
Short, stocky little dude.
He's 6'1". Yeah. No, that's exactly right. He's 6'1". That's what I mean. It's like, but still, he can shoot, man. He can shoot. And he could shoot coming out of college. And then this thing happened last night. Boilermaker. It was an absolute freaking Boilermaker in my pants. You talk about, like, heat zone all over the place with this guy. I'm in on Carson Edwards. I get one of these guys every year in Celtics camp. So just in the interest of disclosure, there was that guy a couple of years ago, RJ Hunter.
Sure.
Yeah, who sucked. Yeah. Okay, I loved him, and he turned out to be a complete bag of garbage. So take that into account. This kid can snipe. He can absolutely freaking shoot the lights out. And so I'm in. I love the idea. I don't know if he can play or not against NBA competition, because let's face it, it was the Cleveland Cavaliers. It might as well have been the main Bear Claws or whatever the hell that team is up there.
Right? Red Claws.
Whatever. Okay. So, but this.
The Moose Balls.
Exactly. I mean, once you're
the Red Balls.
Yeah. I couldn't give. If you're not playing in the NBA, I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Anyway.
What you do. I'm in on Edwards. I love this kid. I love anybody who can shoot. The Celtics don't typically have enough shooters. 70, like I saw this in B. Rob's column today in Boston Sports Journal, 72% of all the shots this kid took in the preseason, three-pointers. He doesn't go anywhere near the hoop. He just sits there and launches. And I'll tell you why I think he's got potential. He's got a quick release. He doesn't need a lot of space. He can catch it and shoot it.
Can he play defense?
God, no.
Okay. This, I'm sorry to do this, to burst your little green bubble. And I don't know this guy. I don't know. What's his name? Carson Edwards?
Carson Edwards.
I don't know him from Trent Edwards, from, you know, Edward R. Murrow. I don't know. Well, whatever.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. It's a 0.0.
No way. I love him.
A little guard who can shoot. Wow. How is that going to move the needle?
Eddie House.
Right. I mean, how's that going to move the needle for you?
Any guy who can score is good.
This isn't the issue on the team. Is he going to get minutes? Because if he can't play D, he's not going to get big minutes. He's not going to get crucial minutes. Of some rookie who's 6'1", who can get back down or can't play D, they're not going to play him.
He's a second unit player. He'll get minutes.
We'll see.
This kid's going to play.
It ain't going to change the dynamic. Can I tell you something that's much more important that I've got my eye on?
Yeah, but I've accepted that reality. They're going to be what they are. He'll make them more entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I think all people are looking for. And I rightfully mean, so. If you have a more fun experience with Carson Edwards, then so
you've all like given up on the year? You don't even think it's going to be a competitive year?
No, they'll be competitive. They're winning a title.
They're not going to win the championship.
Contend?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Contend.
For a title?
Again, you're talking about a difference maker.
Contend means contend.
No.
Could they contend for the Eastern Conference Championship? Sure.
Which means they contend for the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
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 I'm sorry. I think the East is wide open.
You think they can beat Milwaukee?
Yeah.
You're on crack.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You're on crack.
Milwaukee got worse?
So did the Celtics.
I don't know that they got worse.
They did get worse.
How'd they get worse?
They lost Kyrie and Horford.
The second one is my issue.
How did they get better?
Well, because Dingleberry's out of here.
Oh, they got worse.
Because Kyrie's out of here and you get individual improvements from the guys that are still here.
Yeah.
They were better before Kyrie. I hate to break it to you.
Again, what you're using is logic that would apply in most any sport in any league except the NBA.
The logic I'm using is the scoreboard. It's just that tricky thing that they keep putting up there in the corner of the stadium that tells me the results. So that's the thing that unfortunately I look at.
They had better talent last year and Milwaukee destroyed them.
Yeah, you weren't a functional team. So the better talent on paper doesn't matter if you can't put it together and put it to use, which they couldn't put it to use.
Yeah, they played together when Isaiah Thomas was here, and they got killed in the conference final.
Well, the year before, they went to Game 7 against the Cavs. So I think you return to being that kind of team. I think they're a contender. Would I make them a championship favorite? Of course not, but contender. If you contend for the East Finals, then you can win the East Finals. That means you're in the NBA Finals. I think they're that kind of team.
Do you want
to handicap the NBA Finals today?
So wait a minute. Just because you can contend to get to the East Finals means you can win it?
It means you can contend.
You don't really believe this.
You don't. I'll see again.
Of course I believe it.
No, Mike, they're a middler. They're going to be a middler for the foreseeable future, but at least they'll be more entertaining than last year.
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe they're a middler. I think they're a top three seed in the East.
I'm not sure what they're going to be. Again, but it doesn't matter if you're a top three seed in the East. If you're not championship caliber, then you might as well be 10th in the East.
Well, so let's go to break and never talk about the Celtics again.
No, I disagree, because I've accepted the reality that the Celtics aren't going to win the championship next year. But given where they are, I'll take an entertaining team.
So I don't
at least I'll like them again, because last year I hated them.
They weren't going to win for the last couple of years, but you contend and go to the East Finals, have a chance to go to the Finals, you got a season.
They didn't have a chance to win it last year?
They had a chance to win it last year.
Yeah, you said they weren't going to win for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Last year, right, they should have had a chance.
I mean, they absolutely should have had a chance. It didn't work out that way. So, fine. So now you regressed all the way back to where you were before Kyrie got here. Fine.
Game 7 of the East Finals.
And they lost at home. Yeah. And they weren't going to win the title.
Okay, but so we're arguing semantics. Like I still think a contending year is on the table. I do. And so I think that this Carson Edwards is going to mean 0.0 for that.
I love him.
0.0. And maybe like Celtics fans, like just like, wee, Taco Fall, and wee, look at this guy shoot three-pointers, but we're not going to win anything. But you can still go, wee. Like, I know I need the actual chance to do something.
We need a start to something, because we need to like the team again.
I think David, fine. I get you there.
Thank you.
I still think they have a chance to contend and make it real interesting. All right, so dumb.
He plays defense.
Idiot. Here's my issue. Thank you. Can I get to my issue?
I know, I'm stupid. I like people who can shoot.
It's not this little rookie guard who shoots threes. It's who's playing inside. Horford's the issue. And who's playing inside is the issue. And your defense internally is is the issue. That's the issue on this team, whether this kid can shoot threes or not. This Enes Kanter is supposed to be the guy, right? Seems like he's almost third string. They're talking about Daniel Tice starting? or Robert Williams getting a big role and he got hurt again last night and Cantor's sort of fallen out of favor and he can't play defense anyway, that's the issue on the team.
Yes, they're going to suck defensively, yep.
So that's a problem.
It is, and I accept that.
So they'll need a shooter.
Are they going to suck defensively if Robert Williams makes a move and plays?
They'll be better, but they're still going to have problems.
And did Robert Williams shoot a couple threes last night? Did I read this? I'm not watching this stuff, but did he shoot? I think he had two threes last night.
That I don't know.
Do they have this guy now out on the line shooting threes? Because that's what it takes to play here.
Taco's practicing his threes.
They better, because if you can't shoot threes, you don't play.
It could have been Trent Williams who shot the threes.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I got confused.
You get two Williamses now.
Okay, so maybe I got confused on that.
I'm telling you, against the mediocre competition, if they're going to win the game, I'd just as soon as it be 140 to 130.
I need them to contend.
It wasn't Robert Williams.
It was the other Williams.
No. Williams.
Too bad. So that goes back to my question on Robert Williams. And I just say Time Lord so I know who I'm talking about. I'm not calling him by his nickname. Because there's now two Williams. Okay? Robert Williams. So we all know who we're talking about.
The third.
Robert Williams. Run the floor, block shots, rebound, right? Does Brad Stevens play those guys?
Typically, no.
Unless they can stand out on the...
In limited minutes.
Unless they can stand out on the three-point line. So Enes Kanter's got a good offensive game, plays no D. Could care less about it.
None of them play D.
Trent Williams can play D, but he doesn't shoot the three, which is what you need to play in this system. They don't want guys who you don't have to guard on the other end. Tice can do neither really well or both a little well.
Yeah, no. I mean, he tries.
He's like 50% of Al Horford.
So that's the issue on this team. That's the issue.
Yes, defensively, they're going to suck. So I'll take as many shooters as I can get.
I'm not giving up on them contending, by the way. At all.
For the championship?
Yeah, contending is not winning, so you understand that, right?
They're not going to contend for the championship, Mike.
They
might contend for the East, but they'll lose it.
Did the Warriors last year, when Durant got hurt, contend for a championship?
Yeah.
Okay, and they lost in five, or whatever it was?
Well, after they lost Durant and Klay Thompson.
This is what I'm talking about, but they were contending, they were there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think that's on the table for the Celtics?
So you think they're the Warriors?
I think it's possible they could make the finals and maybe get their doors blown off. But you don't think there's value in making the NBA finals?
I'll make a bet on this with you. I bet that the Celtics don't go to the finals.
I think they're the second team in the East.
Second team in the East doesn't go to the finals.
They're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Maybe. They could get eliminated in the second round. Like they did last year.
I think it's silly how you've written off the team.
Wait a minute. I haven't written off the team.
The East is wide open. The Bucks lost their second best player.
Now you're putting words in my mouth. I just said they're not going to win the championship. That's all. I didn't tell you I wasn't going to be interested in the season. I'm totally interested in the season. I think they're going to be wildly entertaining because they got guys that will gun from all over the place. I think that's going to be fun. But defensively, they're going to blow. I would prepare for that now. They are going to suck so bad on defense. You're going to look at them some nights and go, wow.
So that's
the issue.
I
didn't think it was possible to play defense that badly.
Oh, silly me. I'm just looking practically about what they can do this year because I think they can do something. I'm not into the, you know, Taco Tuesday Time Lord shook at the little kid shooting threes. That doesn't do anything for me. I need them to have a year. I need them to have a year and go deep.
They're going to be fun, and you're going to hate it so much.
I don't do fun. I need results.
I'm rooting for fun just to spite you. They're going to be the fun Celtics.
Forget fun.
I want Taco Tuesdays and Burrito Wednesdays. That's what I want.
Long commercial.
Refried Fridays.
Your calls on all this. Commercial free is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let's go back to the phones. We're going to mix in some of your Celtics thoughts. Fred in Rhode Island, are the Celtics a contender this year?
Yes, Mike, I believe they are. The way they're looking right now, I know it's against guys that aren't that good, but come on, man. I mean, Brown is looking also good on defense there, Maz. He went over there and made a nice block the other night if
Brown completed
watching the game. But I think they're looking real good right now. I think, like I said last week, Kemba Walker is going to add a brand new look to this team. We're going to go a long way. It's a good-looking team.
Okay, babe. So I want to get this straight because I got an email from a listener telling me that, you know, I got my head up, shoved up my rectum, so which is fine. I mean, he's probably right. Danny Ainge, who's the president of the team, already is questioning whether they're going to be good enough. And I'm a donkey?
I don't know if you're a donkey.
You can say yes. It's okay.
No, you're not a donkey. I just think you're dismissing them too easily.
I'm not, you're just realistic.
No, no. Who's dismissing them? All I said was they're not going to win the championship this year.
Who do you like better, the 76ers or the Celtics?
Sixers.
76ers.
Oh, I like the Celtics. The Sixers still are so flawed. They still have that same coach. They still have the same...
More talent.
On paper. But, you know, what's that talent? They're super talented point guard, or what do you call Ben Simmons? Can't shoot, won't shoot. Their super talented center is soft and a dog. I'm sorry. And has the dog in him. And I don't know, Horford can change some things there. Can he change everything? And they still have the same bozo coach.
You said, would you say, Embiid, their center is soft?
Yes.
At least they have a center.
No, fair enough. I like the Celtics over the Sixers.
Nope.
Milwaukee's better.
Vegas odds has the Bucks, the Sixers, then you. Okay, those are the three teams in the East. Their NBA odds are Clippers, Lakers, Bucks are third, Sixers are fourth, Rockets, Warriors, Nuggets, Jazz, Celtics. So you're the 10th team, 25-1, and you're the third team in the East. And I'm telling you, I like you over the Sixers. And the Bucks, I'm not a huge believer in. I'm not. I thought you should have beat the Bucks last year. If you weren't such flaming a-holes on the court, you would have. You should have.
So
the Bucks are a flawed team.
So let's go back to some of the stuff we said during the offseason.
So now you're in the East Finals, the NBA Finals. That's contending.
Boy, it's neat how you did that.
Yeah.
That's clever. Now you're in the finals.
So you're contending. Huh. You're not winning, but you're contending.
They're 10th in odds, but they're in the finals.
Yeah, if you're the third team in the East, you're right there.
Okay. So in that league, the way it works typically is there are like four teams at the top that can win the championship, maybe five or six. And we acknowledge that this year was unique because you got guys spread out. You've got LeBron in L.A. with the Lakers. You've got Kawhi in L.A. with the Clippers. You've still got Giannis in Milwaukee. You've got Kyrie in Brooklyn. The talent is pretty spread out. And they're 10th. They are 10th. The talent is spread out.
They're third in the East.
It's not as top heavy as it used to be, and they are 10th.
This is exactly my point.
Utah's better.
It's not as top heavy as it used to be. You're three in the East.
But that's my point. It's not as top heavy as they used to be, and they're 10th.
You're third in the East, and LeBron's not in the East. It's not like one, and then there's the Grand Canyon. I think the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics are all pretty are tightly grouped. That's what I think.
The Bucks are going to beat the Celtics.
Not as easily as last year. The Bucks got worse. The Bucks got worse, and I know it's impossible for you to admit because for some reason you still like Kyrie Irving. The Celts are going to be better. The Celts are going to be better.
No, I don't like Kyrie Irving. I understand his talent.
Right.
That's the difference.
Which did not work or translate here.
Correct.
So
we're back to being Isaiah. We're back to the Isaiah Celtics.
They're going to be better.
Which I'm okay with.
No, Kemba Walker's better than Isaiah.
Which, again, but that's roughly what you're going to be. You're going to be a team that will
go to the East Finals.
Yeah. And lose.
Goes to the East Finals.
And lose.
Yeah, not if it's the Bucks or the Sixers. They'll beat those teams.
They'll lose to the Bucks.
We continue with your thoughts. I want to get to Bill Belichick as a general manager. How do we feel about Belichick as a general manager? The jumping off point. We continue with the calls, too. I'll put that off. I'll get one more segment of your calls. And then I'll get to this Belichick as a GM. I did a whole sample, a whole survey of Belichick's personnel work in the last 3 years. I was kind of surprised with what I found. I'll give you those results coming up. Your calls right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.